And joined here is State Senator Ann Rivers of the 18th Legislative District. Now, as a reminder, the 18th Legislative District is parts of Clark County. This includes parts of Ridgefield, Vancouver, up to La Center, down to Camas, Battleground, the Hawkinson area, over to Washougal. So think of the rural kind of crescent, in a way, of the rural part of Clark County. And you may know Senator Rivers has kind of a dual role at the moment. We've talked about this briefly before. Senator Rivers was tapped to be the leader of the Community and Economic Development Department in the city of Longview, where she's doing a great job. But she has this role as a citizen legislator as well. As you know, the legislature is meant to represent the people. And so the legislators often have full-time jobs around the state and in the communities where they live and do business and work. And so Senator Rivers is not any different in that way. And there's multitudes of occupations and different roles that the legislators play in their communities and the communities around us. Senator Rivers has served in the legislature here for a number of years. She serves on the Health and Long-Term Care Committee, the Ways and Means Committee, the Labor, Commerce, and Tribal Affairs Committee, and on the Senate Rules Committee, which is so important as we watch the bills move through the legislative process. The Rules Committee is like the filter, right? Think of the Rules Committee as a filter that filters out some of the bad bills. Senator Rivers, thank you so much for joining us today on Town Hall. We appreciate you joining the program.
Thank you, Mike, for having me.
So as we're trying to keep up with the movement of the legislature with some 2,100 bills introduced and today being cut off for the committee for House of Origin of Policy Bills, why is today so critically important to the process?
So today is the day when we find out what made the cut and what did not. Today's the day when we stop worrying about the really bad bills and focus on what we can do to make the bills that got through even better. So we're still sort of waiting, but Mike, I will point out that the fiscal cutoff is next week, and those are the bills that have big dollar impacts on the state and therefore on the taxpayers of the state. So we still have a lot of work to do there, but some of the policy bills that we have concern about, some of them didn't make it. A lot of them did make it through, so now we're in sort of, I don't know, damage control mode.
So today's the cutoff for those policy measures, true policy measures,
yep.
Things that affect the policies of the state. But however, as you mentioned, the next deadline is those for those that have a fiscal impact that,
right,
to deal with some of the budgetary measures. Now, isn't it true, though, that really there is no such thing as a dead bill? The majority party can decide to do what they want basically at any time, and they can grab a bill and throw it on the House or Senate floor, respectively, at the last moment with very little effort. Is that true?
Well, that's very true. In fact, that's what they did with the Long-Term Care Act bill, the repeal bill. They made a decision that it did not need to go through the regular process, and they just grabbed it, and we voted it off the floor to stop the Long-Term Care Act tax.
So that's
an example of something that happened recently.
That's part of the movement, right? Those strategies are part of the process that the committee controls, the leadership controls, the respective bodies control, those rules of engagement, if you will, of how the legislators work together to move issues through that process. Now, in addition to these cutoffs that we're talking about, there have been some changes in the environment. Now, our senator here in the 19th district, Senator Wilson, has yet to have a legislative session in person. You do have some experience serving the legislature in person. How is it different, and how has it affected you to be mostly online as it is now, without having the in-person public meetings, without having the in-person testimony, without having the help of your constituents and the third house really helping you in person? And how does it compare to years past?
Well, technology is great, but there is absolutely no replacement for the in-person sorts of activities that occur, whether it's between the elected official and their constituency or, candidly, between two elected officials. You know, we would be able to get a lot done by going to the back of the chamber during voting and hammering out issues on what we called the couches back there. And that's gone. So the opportunity to work together has been almost completely removed, and that's really sad. Additionally, we've boiled citizen comment and engagement down to just numbers of X number of people signed in for, X number of people signed in against, instead of being able to, you know, to get a full hearing for people so that they can come to their capital and they can share what they think about what's happening. And that's very, very frustrating. Most committees now, people get 1 minute or 1.5 minutes to testify. Sometimes they'll get 3 minutes, but it's simply, you know, the gravity of somebody making the drive to Olympia and actually engaging their government, it should not be underestimated. It's very important. But that is the very thing that's been removed. And I think that that has moved democracy backwards in our state.
Speaking of the number of people who are signing up to testify, as an example, it's been reported that nearly 5,400 people signed up to testify before the public hearing of the Senate Committee on State Government and Elections concerning Senate Bill 5909. Now, Senate Bill 5909 is the majority party's attempt to rein in this out-of-control governor just a little bit, suggesting that the leaders of the legislature would have that possible 90-day check on the governor's emergency powers, allowing the majority and the minority leaders to terminate that extra powers the governor's exercising if they were able to do so. So Senate Bill 5909, 5,400 some people weighed in on that. But how many got to testify?
A handful. Essentially a handful. And here's the other piece of that. That is the record-breaking number, more so than gun rights, more so than any of the birth control or any of the other hot button items. This sign-in has broken every record that exists in the legislature. So it is absolutely front of mind for people. I think there's so much frustration. And you know, Mike, I'll tell you, in the first week of session, we heard from Dr. Murray, who is the head of the IMHE, which is a division of UW. He is one of Governor Inslee's primary advisors on COVID policy. And in this committee, I couldn't believe my ears, he said, it's time to stop testing. It's time to stop the mandates. He said, Omicron has shown Delta the door. There are zero deaths from Omicron, which is absolutely opposite of what the newspapers are reporting, that millions will die from Omicron, but zero deaths on any continent. And keep in mind, this started in Botswana in July of 2021. So it's been around a long time, and yet zero deaths from it. So people, they've had it. They're frustrated, and people are afraid. And they're afraid because they're being spooled up and given incorrect information. So we just submitted a letter today to the governor saying, hey, you know, you said that you relied on science. We don't have any reason to not believe you. But here's your head scientist telling you it's that the pandemic is over. We are now in endemic mode. And so let's start loosening up the grip that the people have been under and end the fatigue that they've been experiencing for 2 years.
Senator Rivers, thank you for that. This governor has shown he's power hungry, continues to move the goal line and the goalpost time and time again. We have serious issues concerning the state, particularly this, this governor's overreach and abuse of his emergency powers. We're seeing some legislators try to bring that back in with Senate Bill 5909, also in the House, respectively, House Bill 1772. We're seeing thousands of citizens weigh in to try to register and testify and show their support for limiting these governor's emergency powers. On the other hand, we have some legislators who think it's important to take up issues like the statewide sport of pickleball, or even the other issues like psychedelic drugs. But State Senator Ann Rivers is focused on a number of issues on behalf of the constituents that she represents in Clark County. Senator Rivers, thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate you coming on the Town Hall.
Thanks a million, Mike.
So you sponsored a number of bills concerning different healthcare-related topics. Now, this seems like it would be a good fit for you in your service, right, in your role in the committees that you work. How is it that the ideas come to you in your role as a state senator, and the bills that you choose to work, how do you pick and choose which of those that you're going to work on and find to move through the process?
So many of the bill ideas come from constituents who call me with a problem and who say, this is what I'm experiencing, is there anything we can do about it? And some of them come from my own personal life. Pharmaceutical costs have gotten out of control. That's no secret. So really digging in to figure out what in the world is happening. We see pharmaceutical, if we look at the federal documentation, we see that the pharmaceutical profits really have only increased by, and I'm thinking specifically of insulin, which should be the cheapest because it's been around the longest. It's been off formulary, so it's generic. And we see that it only increased, I think, 3% last year. But somehow by the time it gets to the consumer, we see a thousandfold increase in the price that the consumer has to pay. So something's wrong there. We can all admit it. And people shouldn't have to choose between their life-saving drug and making a mortgage payment or putting food on the table. So those are the kinds of things that motivate me. And most of my ideas come from constituents who are attempting to deal with an issue.
One of those proposals is the bill that you're working on, Senate Bill 5811, which proposes to open up the choice of pharmacies, right, and to restrict the ability of certain providers to require that a consumer use their required pharmacy, but to promote some kind of pharmacy choice. Is the intent there to try to find a way to reduce the cost again?
Absolutely, because what happens is you go to your pharmacy to pick up your prescription. You may have been doing business at that pharmacy for years, and your pharmacist slips a piece of paper across at you because they're forbidden to speak to you about it. And it's a note from your carrier that says, we no longer engage in a business relationship with this pharmacy. You either must go to X pharmacy, or you can only get your pharmaceutical by mail, but you're going to have to buy 3 months at a time. So in my case, it was a bill that I could pay, it was a pharmaceutical that I could pay $120 a month cash for, but when I had to buy it through my carrier, I had to pay $150 a month, and I had to buy 3 months at a time. So that's a huge upfront cost, and I don't have that kind of money just laying around, and I know most of my constituents don't either. So it's just to say, look, it, patients get to do business where they want to do business, and that's the way it should be. We shouldn't be telling people where they can and cannot, you know, purchase their pharmaceuticals.
So this is a bill that was introduced and went before a committee that you serve on, the Health and Long-Term Care Committee. We've heard it from other legislators as well that they were having a difficult time getting hearings on some of these important proposals.
So this year, that's true, but this year I partnered with Representative Schmick in the House, and we determined that his bill would be the vehicle. So we had a good hearing in the Senate, did not advance, but there's still a vehicle alive. So we're going to push that and try not to amend it so that we can send it right to the governor's desk.
So that's a good point. I appreciate you pointing that out. The kind of inside baseball, the way it works, is that you had a companion bill, a similar bill, introduced in the House by Representative Schmick and others. And the idea there was you would have the same bill introduced in both the House and the Senate, respectively, moving along parallel paths so that if one got hung up along the way, the other one could possibly survive through the process.
Exactly. And here's the saying that we use on the Hill, and I'm sure you've heard this before, I'd rather have the policy than the pen. It's just another way of saying, because when you get the pen when the governor signs your bill. If it's not your bill, you don't get a pen. But
it doesn't matter who gets the credit.
Exactly, and that's what I was going to get to. It's another way of saying it's amazing what you can get done when you don't need the credit.
Senator Rivers, we appreciate you so much. Thank you for your service. Job well done. Thank you for being a voice for common sense in Olympia. We look forward to connecting with you again very soon.
Thanks a million, Mike. Have a good one.
You too. Thank you. State Bye-bye. Senator Ann Rivers from the 18th Legislative District.